Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining me for my weekly podcast. Thanks for joining me on Mindful Health Choices. I hope this Wednesday, March 13th. Wow, we're officially halfway through the month. Woohoo! Lots happening this month. Daylight savings. We have the leprechauns coming on the 17th, and then we have Easter on the 31st. I've been joking around saying hopefully the Easter bunnies don't run into leprechauns, the leprechauns don't run into the Easter bunnies, because, you know, that's a whole lot. Teachers could really have a lot of fun with this month. But anyways, today's podcast is going to be, we're going to talk a little bit about the elimination diet. Many of you know the elimination diet if you don't know, let me explain. So elimination diet is when you take something out of your diet to see if it makes you feel better. Most doctors use the elimination diet with food. The elimination diet, like you take out gluten for 4 weeks and see if it makes you feel better. Some people put it back in to see if, in fact, they go back the other way. Personally, when I take something out, it makes me feel better. I just don't revisit it. I leave it alone. I don't reintroduce it. But some people do. Some people test that water. So the elimination diet is when you take something out for a period of time to see if it makes you feel better, helps you with your symptoms. Today we're going to talk about, that's the health coaching part of me. Now today we're going to talk with the life coach part of me about elimination diet of things. Not necessarily food, but people, situations, everyday life. How many times have we wanted to eliminate, we'll say, toxic people? And I've talked about this before. Toxic people are really hard sometimes because we have toxic people around us all the time. Sometimes you're in a situation like work, you have to work with this person and they're toxic. Then in that situation, if you really can't eliminate them out of your life, and they are there, the most common situation I think about is work. And sometimes you have to work with this person closely. Then I say you need to wear your shield. You need to like protect yourself from all their toxic things. But for the most part, if it's not work, I mean, maybe it's a family member, but I've eliminated family members that are toxic. It hasn't been easy, but I've done it. It's slow, but gradually and done it. But if eliminating a toxic person will give you so many more benefits, then it's worth it. Maybe if you're at work and you have to work with this toxic person, you could ask to work with someone else. I don't know. Just putting feelers out there, ways to eliminate this. There are a lot of things in our life that we need to eliminate. 100%. I've been doing a lot of thinking and a lot of journaling about this. And just the things that I've worked on in my life about eliminating things like toxic people. Many of you know that if they don't resonate with me, they don't align with me, my beliefs, my thoughts. And I don't mean like just political like things or all that stuff, because I do believe that not everyone's going to align politically, emotionally, spiritually, but they still align with you in other ways. I mean, sometimes that's what makes the world go around. But I mean like if they don't, I mean, if your list of why you don't want to be friends with them is a lot longer than the list of why you should be friends with them or should or want, then you know what? Let's eliminate them. Let's get rid of them. Let's not reintroduce them. They're done. I know you're listening to this and you're saying, Veronica, yeah, bullshit. That's easier said than done. How am I going to eliminate Auntie Sue? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, there are ways to do it. Either you call them on their bluff and you tell them that they're being toxic and however they're being toxic. Maybe they're an addict. We'll just use that for an example. Maybe they're an addict. We'll say they're an alcoholic, because that's the easiest. They're an alcoholic and their drinking is just toxic. When they're around you or family functions, their drinking is just toxic. They're not fun. They're just kind of like sharp tongue. They're kind of like going for the jugular. They're unpredictable. And then when they're not drinking, when you're around them, say you go to lunch with them, you know, you're like, okay, well, let's give Aunt Sue another benefit of the doubt. Let's just like meet her for lunch. And she's just toxic, talking about this person, that person, negative Nancy on this and blah, blah, blah. You know what? You don't have to choose to have that person in your life. You can set up boundaries. You can remove them from your life. You can eliminate them. It may not be easy, but it can be done. But that is another podcast for later. So just keep that in mind. It can be done. It may take you a little bit of time. One of the other things that I've really been working very hard on eliminating from my life is worry. Now, we're all going to worry to some degree. That's part of life. You're going to worry about how you're going to pay that bill or pay for that vacation or worry about your child. Are they going to get accepted to college? Are they going to get their driver's license? How are they going to give birth to their child? You know, is everything going to be okay? There's some worrying that will take place in our life that we can't totally eliminate. But if it is keeping you up at night, if it is consuming you, if it brings nothing to the table, if you're worrying about, and I'm not going to say stupid things because if you're worrying about it, it obviously matters to you. But if you're worrying about things that you can't control or change, you need to revisit that. You need to try to eliminate that from your life. If you're worrying about having enough money to pay your bills, well, instead of worrying about it, it's there. You can't just eliminate paying bills, but then you need to up your game. You need to write down and think about how I can pay for my bills or make more money or bring it to the next level. Or how can I cut back on bills so I'm not worrying about it. I'm not laying awake at night thinking, how am I going to pay for CMP or the power or whatever. I'm not saying that you need to go out and get 4 jobs and all that stuff. But I do say that if you're worrying about money or you're worrying about a relationship or whatever, that relationship, you should be communicating that with that person. Like, hey, I'm really worried about our relationship. This is why. Talk it out. If you're worrying about money and it's keeping you awake at night, then you need to really figure that out. But I think for the most part, if you're worrying about things that you can't change or don't have the ability to change, get rid of it because it's not serving any purpose. It's not doing you any good. I'm not saying that it's not important. That is not what I'm saying. But laying awake at night, losing valuable sleep over something that you may never be able to change or fix is a waste of your time. You can channel your energy in ways of trying to fix it, such as being there for that person, such as having a conversation with that person or thing or whatever. So stop worrying. If you're worrying about it, take action. Make something different. Anger. Anger was something that I used to have a lot of. I used to be angry at the world. I used to be angry at my past, my situation. I used to be angry that I was not good enough. I used to be angry that I was not strong enough. I used to always be looking at the person next to me, never in front of me. I will admit my faults 100%. If you talk to me, I probably didn't come over as angry, but I was bitter. I was angry at what God, what I thought God, or what the deal that I had been dealt in life, I guess. That is an elimination diet for me. I've gotten rid of my anger. Sure, I get worked up from time to time about certain situations. I'm human. But I do stop. I do think about it. I do say to myself, okay, let me sleep on this for 24 hours. And if I'm still angry about it in the morning or after 24 hours, then I'll address it. But for the most part, I eliminate it. I get rid of it. It no longer serves me purpose if it's bringing me anger instead of joy. I'm not saying that that's easy either, but you have to look at the big picture of everything. Anger, hate only consumes you. Anger only consumes you. It only makes you dwell. It only makes you worry. It only makes you be around those toxic people even more. So why have it? Why not just eliminate it? Resentment. I would say in my early 20s, I had a lot of resentment towards why I wasn't making traction in my life, why I wasn't going anywhere, even though I was going somewhere, but it wasn't necessarily how fast I thought I should be going. So I had a lot of resentment, like, why is that person able to do it and I'm not? And, you know, from time to time, I think it's a human nature type thing. I think that we do look and say, well, how did Betty Sue get that? I'm working just as hard as she is and all of that stuff. But I'm happy for people. I try not to ever have resentment towards anything or anyone, because you know what? You don't know that person's story. And again, resentment at the end of the day, it just aligns with anger, worry, toxic people. It doesn't really serve any purpose to be resentful of, you know, even your past. Like, I use my past a lot because it's made me who I am today. I could have a lot of resentment, and I will tell you to your face, I will say this to anyone. It happened for me, not to me. My past happened for me, not to me. It now serves me. It has made me the person that I am. It has given me the drive. It has made me want to be stronger. The whole enchilada. Okay. So I don't ever, I try not to have any resentment towards my past, because I try to put it out there that this is all has made me a better person. So resentment doesn't have a place. That went out on the elimination diet a very long time ago. regrets. Oh my gosh. If I think about my past, I don't have a ton of regrets, but I have some. I think everyone has some regrets. I have not regrets of maybe things I've said or things that I have done. It's more the things that I haven't done, the opportunities that I didn't seek out because I didn't have the confidence or because I didn't have the drive. No, not even the drive. The confidence, I guess it all boils down to mostly confidence for me. The confidence to go out there and grab the world by the way that I want it to. I wish that this Veronica that is here now presenting to you was the Veronica that I was, could have been 30 years ago. But I wasn't, and that's why I'm here today. I mean, I've done a lot of self-growth, a lot of evolving. So I don't spend a lot of time on regret, but it is part of what I would say a lot of people have and need to get rid of in their elimination diet. Regret's not going to, it's not going to fix anything. Like, to have regret about a conversation, or to have regret that you didn't do this, or to have regret that you, whatever it may be, all I can say is, instead of having regret, take regret out of the diet, get rid of it, eliminate it, but learn from that. Learn from that situation. So maybe you didn't tell Auntie Beverly that you loved her one last time before she died. You didn't give that opportunity because you chose to do something instead of going in to see her. Whatever the case may be. Instead of using that as in like, oh, that's, I mean, yes, it can be regret for sure. But don't live there. Say, you know what? I'm never going to do that again. From now on, whenever I hang up that phone, I'm going to say I love you to whoever I'm talking to, if you love that person. If you don't love that person, maybe say, you know, be safe, have a good week, whatever it is. Have a good response to end that conversation. That way there's no regrets. So learn from that. Instead of thinking the word regret, think about how you want to foster that conversation in a positive channel. How you'll take regrets that you have in the past and turn that around. So don't live too long in the regrets. Instead, look, you know, put that in the elimination diet. Instead of having regrets, really think to yourself, I remember when I didn't do that, so I'm never going to do that again. I'm not going to spend much time on regretting it. So instead of regretting it, I'm going to channel my energy towards making sure that I tell that person I love them at the end of every conversation, or that, I don't know, I mean, that I don't drink too much at the Christmas party because I don't ever want to have that feeling of regret that I said that to that person, or whatever the case may be. Just trying to think of some regrets. Guilt. Guilt is a big one. Do we ever eliminate guilt? Again, does guilt really serve a purpose? I think we can all think about how we feel guilt at one point in time in our life. We should have, could have, would have, but we didn't. 100%. I personally, I mean, I have regrets as in like for instance, when I had my firstborn, I was on bed rest and I mean, I took it serious, but I didn't take it serious. Like, I mean, I was in my 20s. I didn't know anything about, preeclampsia or any of that stuff. My doctor did not educate me, and that is a regret. Like, I wish that I had gotten more educated on it so I would know the seriousness of it, and how fast things turned. That I have regrets because I didn't know that I would have a premature baby or any of that stuff. But now, in a situation, instead of having regret, so I don't have regret, whenever a situation arises, I do Google things like now, like because we have that access, So I wouldn't say I have a lot of regret because, like, everyone that's died in my life, I have been there. Like my brother Mike, who died, I was at his bedside when he took his last breath. My mother, I did for a split second have regret that I wasn't there for her, but that was my mother. She didn't want anyone there when she was dying. So I know that. So I did have regret for a little bit, but I worked through it knowing that I shouldn't feel that because there was nothing I could do to change about that situation. So with the deaths in my life, I know that I gave 110%. So I do have, I mean, I think everyone has some regrets to things, but I just kind of wanted to give you guys some ideas of like where my regrets lie. So now what I do instead of I've eliminated guilt from my everyday life, and like with food, for instance, guilt might be a strong word, but like I would say, oh, I had 6 bites of that hot fudge sundae. The scale's gonna be up, and sure enough, the scale might be up the next day. But is it really from the fucking 6 bites of hot fudge sundae? Probably not. It may be because I didn't take a big enough poop. But I would have guilt, like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that. Well, you know what? It's life balance. You know what? Have that hot fudge sundae. Enjoy it. Take an extra walk if that makes you feel better, if you want to not have that kind of remorse or guilt or whatever it is. I mean, as women, we just beat ourselves up over the stupidest things, and we need to eliminate the guilt from our life, hands down. Instead of having guilt, just try to do better. Try to be a better person. Think about things. Instead of saying, I feel guilty that I didn't do this, say, yeah, I probably should have done this in hindsight, but in my next situation that I'm in like that, then I know that I won't do that. Learn from our lessons, learn from our mistakes. Okay, here is a big one. Blame. We are so friggin' easy to blame someone else. We blame the hot fudge sundae if the scale's up. Well, the scale might be up because I did not do my exercises that day. I did not take my walk. I didn't drink my water. Stupid analogy, I know. Scale shouldn't even fucking matter. We know all that. But I'm just using that as an example. But blame. We're so easy to blame everyone else in today's society because that's the easiest thing. It's what we see on social media. Political party, everyone's blaming everyone. COVID, everyone's blaming everyone. No one will want to take responsibility for their actions, for how and why we should have blame towards whatever it may be. So blame needs to go out the fucking window, needs to be eliminated. We need to take ownership for our shit. If we're not doing the fucking work, don't blame it on someone else. Own it. You know what? I half-assed did that today. I half-assed did that presentation, and you know what? It cost me a client. Take ownership for it. Don't blame it on, well, Susie didn't come prepared, so therefore I had to do all the work. No. No. You know what? You should have talked to Susie to make sure her end of the deal was sealed. Stop putting blame on everyone else. Look in the mirror and take responsibility for you, for your actions. Stop blaming people for your childhood. It's the number one thing that I had to learn. I can have so much blame for my trauma, but it's not going to do me any good. I have, and not that, let me back up and punt, because my trauma, there wasn't a lot I could do, but I could blame a lot of people for it. And I do blame certain people for it to some degree, because that's a whole different thing. But instead of blaming the situation is where I'm going with it. Instead of blaming the situation and making me so I'm not committed to being the best version of myself, I take ownership for it. Okay, this happened to me, but what can I take away from this to make me a stronger person, to help me like understand that everyone has a story. I'm not alone in this. Yes, I think certain situations do have blame for sure. Not going to deny that, but it's what we do with the blame, I guess, at the end of the day. So blame, it's just so easy to get caught up in it, I guess, is where I'm going with it. When things don't go our way, we just quickly blame someone else. You know, we just got to take ownership for it sometimes. If I cut someone's bangs too short, yeah, I could say, well, you said you wanted that short. And it would be easy for me to blame it on the client. But I know for a fact, my rule of thumb is I cut bangs twice. I can recut bangs. There's nothing worse than having your bangs too fucking short. I will tell you that. I'll cut your hair again. If you want me to take off 6 inches, are you really sure? Because 6 inches is this. Unless that person is 100% sure and like very adamant, chances are I'm going to recut. Because I don't want to blame it on them when I fucked up, or like hair color, for instance. You know, if I don't know how to do something and I just half-ass do it, well, you know what? I can't blame that on the client. I have to take ownership for it. So there is some blame sometimes on other people. I'm not going to deny that. Don't want to sound wishy-washy, but take ownership. Get rid of blame. So instead of putting yourself in situations where you're going to have blame later or shame or whatever, get rid of it. Foster different rules. Foster different things. Put things into play where you know it's, you know, it's the 80-20 rule, for instance. You know, 80% of the time I'm going to be good, but I'm going to allow myself 20% of the time to have a cheat meal or whatever. So you can't blame, oh, well, you know, that one cheat meal, that did me in, when in fact you cheated the whole freaking week. So blame. Elimination of situations. What do I mean by that? Well, how many times have we been put in a situation where we could have not put ourselves in that situation? Such as, someone asks you to give them a ride. I gotta think about this. Oh, someone asks you to give them a ride to the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning. And you, at that point in time, don't mind doing it. But then you have remorse about, like, oh, God, I get up again, gotta get up at 2. And you're crabbing about it and all that stuff. Well, either suck it up, Buttercup, and just do it because you're the one that agreed to it, or don't put yourself in that situation. If your husband's having a work party, Christmas party, we'll say. Been to many of those in my younger days. Didn't know squat, but I went for my husband. Had a miserable time. Now, would that Veronica go? Probably not if I didn't know. I mean, he's been there for a long time, so I know more people. But in my earlier days, knowing what I know now, probably not. I wouldn't put myself in that situation of having a miserable time, not knowing anyone, and just kind of like sitting there while he mingled, even though he was, you know, good and all that stuff. But you know what I'm saying. So putting yourself in situations that you're going to have remorse about, such as parties or cookouts, and you agree to it, and then all of a sudden, fuck, the day comes, and oh, I said I was going to do this. Don't do it. Don't put yourself in that situation. Eliminate those situations. Get rid of them. Commit 24. I'm going to think about that for 24 hours. Or you don't tell people that, but you just say, can I get back to you tomorrow afternoon on that? I just need to like go over my planner, and I don't want to double book myself. Can I just get back to you on that? Perfect example. So eliminate situations that you don't want to be in. End of story. They don't serve you. Don't do it. So I'm going to end this with, I think you've all heard me say this. Is it a should or a want? Should I do it or do I want to do it? Well, we're going to eliminate the I should do this and keep I want to do this. because it's kind of like putting yourself in the situations. I should do this, but I really don't want to do this. You know what? Life is too short, too effing short for I should do this instead of I really want to do this. I really want to meet Betty Sue at the coffee shop and just see how everything's going. I'm so interested in, like, she went to Italy and blah, 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 and I just want to catch up with her. I want to do this, not like, oh, I should meet Betty Sue at the coffee shop because I should see how her vacation was, and I should. Listen, make more wants in your life. Get rid of the shoulds. Get rid of the toxic people. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the worry, the resentment. Get rid of the regrets, the guilt, the blame, the situation. Get rid of the shoulds. Keep the wants. Life is just too short. Make more wants. Make more goals. Make more things that you have passion for. It's never too late. You're never too old. You're never too young. Set goals. They may be financial goals. They may be health journey goals. They may be career goals. They may be, I'm really going to do the elimination diet, whether it be food or whether it be the things that we just talked about. And I guess last but least, because the last two are really my passions, the shoulds versus the wants. But really, tell how you truly feel. I honestly, like, I'm not going to get too much into this because I really try to keep my podcast at like 20 minutes or so and I'm already over, but I do feel very passionately about this. So I had a little bit of a, I wouldn't say confrontation, but I go to several people's houses, people with compromised immunes, and the CDC just lifted the guidelines. You no longer have to quarantine, blah, blah, blah. Not going to get into all that. You guys can look it up. But this particular person supposedly has, and I believe her, she has compromised, like she has COPD, all this stuff. Well, wearing a mask for me can be very difficult because I do have asthma. And then also the condensation makes my nose drip and then I end up coughing and it puts me into coughing fits. It just, and I know you guys, I get it. You people in the medical world, you wear a mask all the day and blah, blah, blah. I get it. I mean, I totally get it. Now I've been going to her house now for 4 years since COVID has happened. I've been wearing my mask. Well, when the CDC changed their guidelines, I'm like, I am no longer wearing my mask. Well, what do you think we had a confrontation about? And I could have easily backed down, and I kept it very civil. I was very clear and direct and to the point. I said, I will wear my mask this one last time, but going forward, I am done. I said, you may have COPD and you have compromised. I get that 100%, but I followed all the guidelines. I am done. I'm done wearing my mask. I have asthma. It makes my nose drip. Then I go into coughing fits. And then it's hard for me to catch my breath. And I shouldn't have to sit here and justify it. End of story. So I spoke the truth. I said how I feel. And you know what? It was uncomfortable for a moment or two. And she respected me. I respected her. And then we just came to terms. Like, well, you know, I'm sorry, but this might be our last haircut together. So as uncomfortable as it was, I spoke the truth. Was it easy? Absolutely not. It was not easy whatsoever. But wearing my mask after all of everything that I've done to comply with COVID and followed all the rules, and I'm not going to get into all that on my end of things because that's not what my podcast is about. But for me personally, I'm done. Done wearing a mask. I come to you. I give you this service. I get it. You're compromised, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to be coughing all over you or spewing all over you. So I spoke the truth, and the truth came out that I may not be cutting this person's hair again, but I'm okay with that because there's consequences at the end of it. A lot of times we don't speak the truth about how we feel. Maybe your husband undermined you with something that about the kids and that really pissed you off and you just went along with it and didn't say anything. And oftentimes I think that when I give advice, like, yeah, don't say anything in front of the kids, just ride it until the end. And then when you guys have an opportune time, talk about it, talk about how that made you feel. So I guess telling the truth is right up there with the shoulds and the wants. Not saying how you really feel about something or a certain situation. The one thing that I will tell you is always listen to your instinct. If something doesn't feel right to you or it doesn't sit well with you, or if it's a should instead of a want, learn it. Figure it out, because you know what? It's not going to change. And the sooner that you can put these things into play, this elimination diet, the better off you'll be. I personally believe that and feel that. This is my life experience. These are the things that I've gotten rid of that no longer serve me purpose, along with gluten and dairy and extra fats and all the other things that go along with my elimination diet for food. So anyhow, I'm gonna wrap it because I now at 30 minutes. So I apologize for being long-winded. I just felt a little bit of passion about this. So anyhow, thank you for listening. I hope you guys are having a marvelous week. You're an amazing person. If no one's told you that today, you're absolutely beautiful. Enjoy the starts of spring. Get outside, get some vitamin D, even if you just sit on your deck and just soak it up. And don't forget to journal and do your gratitude work. Be grateful for the things that are in your life. It's so easy for us to lose sight of that. So everyone, have a great week. We'll see you next Wednesday.